The following shiur is dedicated in the memory of Le'ilui Nishmas Leah Bas Yisrael Meir, whose yahrzeit is today the 30th of Shvat. She's the mother of Yona Gansberger, and we wish her and the whole family that the neshama should have an aliyah, and the whole family should be benched with long life, aruchas yamim, and all good things. So today we're going to continue on in the second perek of Tanya. It's a very chassidish perek. Now, obviously, all chapters in Tanya are come from chassidus, but that's what chassidus is. But this, we're going to answer a question that we started talking about last week. But then also we're going to get to the whole point of what it means, why we need tzaddikim, why we need to be connected to tzaddikim. Although the Altreb doesn't talk about it explicitly, but obviously it centers around the whole idea of what a Rebbe is really, and that's not the point of the Tanya, this chapter, but it comes out at the end. But let's recap first of all. So last week he started talking about, at the end of the first chapter he talks about the Nefesh Abam is the animal soul. So we talk about that's the soul that comes from Klippa, it's a soul that's not conscious of godliness, it's a soul which is preoccupied with self-preservation and physical material existence. Even at its outset, it's still considered Klippa because it conceals godliness. It gets worse with time if you don't do something about it, because in other words, it just creates and evolves into bad middos or to pursuing materialism and so on and so forth. It doesn't have to be that way, but obviously that's our goal, to transform it and to channel it so it's harnessed onto the godly soul. But that will come to later on in Tanya, where he talks about the struggle between the two souls. Now we're just trying to define the two souls. Perek Beis, he started talking about the Nefesh HaLakis. The Nefesh HaLakis, the godly soul, which is the Jewish soul, he said is a chelek elakami ma'al mamish. It's a piece of godliness, meaning it's godly. As we explained last week, not that it's God, it's a creation, it comes into us, but it's godly. Completely godly, completely fully conscious of godliness, and very much connected with Hashem, very much connected with God, right? In other words, it has a oneness with Hashem that has a oneness with Hashem that is that it makes it inseparable, and a very, very indirect oneness with Hashem, different to the rest of creation, right? That's the godly soul. And he explained it in two ways, and the second way is what I want to really revise. I'll just mention the first way, because the second way will give us an understanding of what he wants to talk about in the piece that we're going to do today. So the first one was that he brings a pasuk, and the pasuk was when Hashem gave Adam Arishon the neshama, which Adam Arishon, we know, as I explained last week, actually the soul that we talked about in the beginning of Bereshis is the godly soul, the Nefesh HaLakis. It didn't yet, then it was sort of became dormant and only emerged with Avraham Avinu because of the sin of Eitz Hadas, but it was the Nefesh HaLakis. So it says that Hashem blew into his nostrils. Now we know Hashem only uses language that we perceive as physical imagery because that's where we understand it, but really it's not physical, Hashem is not physical. But yet it describes a certain manifestation of Hashem. So the world was created. I'm going quickly because we did this last week, I just want to recap. So Hashem created the world with dibur, with speech. Speech is external. You can talk for a long time. I can be talking in this room and someone can hear it in the other room. I don't have to be here. So it represents a distant or external relationship. The rest of the world, that's where the rest of creation is created, because the rest of the world is oilam. It's a world that conceals the infinite presence of Hashem, and therefore it's diluted, and therefore the connection between everything that's created other than the soul, it has a relationship with Hashem like speech. When it came to the neshama, it says Hashem blew the neshama. The Zohar says that when someone blows, he blows from his inside. And also, because you can't blow for a long time because you're giving your whole self in it. And also we said last week, when a person blows, if there's something blocking it, then it doesn't go further, because the blowing has to be completely inseparable with the person blowing. So with Hashem, when Hashem blew the neshama, it means the neshama is a part of him. It's godly. It's one with him. Okay. So we explained it in detail last week. The second thing he explained was that we know that it says Yisrael olu b'machshove, that the Yidden entered into Hashem's thought. Is it too cold in here, by the way? No? Okay, let me know if it is. Entered into his thought. So again, different relationship. World's relationship with Hashem is speech. The neshama's relationship with Hashem is thought. Thought is one with the person, right? When we think, it's not, we can't give over our thoughts. We can communicate some of it, we can dilute it a little bit, but what we think, and the way we think it is incommunicable. Is that a word? No, I don't think so. To other people, because it's me, right? When I speak to someone else, I'm giving over part of me, and I try in many, many words, many, many sentences to describe as much as I'm feeling, but it's never the real thing, right? So that's why dibur is separate, machshava is one. Machshava is a means of expression, but only to myself, with myself, because my thought is really, my thought isn't me, it's a means of expression of me, but it's one with me. The analogy given in Chassidus is like the turtle or the tortoise. That's got a levush, it's got a garment, it's not the tortoise, but it is one with the tortoise. You can't separate the shell with the tortoise, right? Or the turtle, or whatever the case is. Yeah. But then he took that a little bit of a different direction. He started to talk more Kabbalistically in terms of the actual source of the neshama. And I just want to explain this a little bit again. And he said that, because when we talk about the soul coming up in the real thought of Hashem, that's the origin of the soul. However, when we talk about where the soul actually begins to evolve, I said before, do you want to make two copies of that page? Oh, sorry, one for Rob, one for me. Thanks. I'm just revising, so it should be. Alright? So he started talking about where the neshama consciously starts to evolve from, and that's from the level known as Chochma of Atzilut. I'm just going to re-explain this because it's really important to understand today's piece, right? So, we explained that Hashem created the worlds. The worlds are all governed by 10 powers, but the way Hashem did that was that first Hashem is undefined, but first He created the 10 powers within Himself. And that's what we know. There's four spiritual worlds, Atzilut, Bria, Yetzirah, Asiya. The first one is called Atzilut. That's Hashem's world. It's His Chochma, His Bina, His Das, and so on, right? So there the Rambam says at that point, Hashem is one with His powers. Meaning, Hashem is not defined by these 10 powers, as the Maharal explained. I explained this at length last week. But yet, when Hashem decided to manifest Himself by choice, to manifest Himself in 10 limited powers, they're actually infinite powers, but they're defined in the sense that they have description. They're Chochma, not Bina, Bina, not Das, and so on. So therefore, Hashem chose to express Himself in 10 spheres. Chochma, Bina, Das, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, and so on, right? And the first level, and then each world is governed by those same 10 powers, one evolving from another, right? I'll explain a bit more towards the end of today, maybe, hopefully. But the first world is Atzilus, that's Hashem's world, that's Hashem's manifestation. The Neshama, the Nefesh HaLakis, originates from the highest level called Chochma Ilah, supernal Chochma, supernal wisdom. So that's the first level of Atzilus, Chochma Ilah. That's the source of the neshama. Now, he says, how do we know this? Because it says that Bonim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem, the neshama of the Jewish neshama, is a child of Hashem, a son of Hashem, right? That's what it says in Chumash. You are sons of God, right? And he creates the first a foundation, which again, biologically seems strange, but this is what I want to repeat it again because it's going to be the basis of today's discussion as well. That it says in Gemara that a ben nimshach mimoyach ho'av. The son originates from the brain of the father. Right? It's got something to do with the connection between the spine and the brain, as we know they're very connected. And the original arousal for the sperm of the father originates in the brain. So it obviously originates more spiritually speaking or figuratively speaking, but and then travels down, and then obviously it manifests in the actual sperm, and that's what creates the child, right? But the source of that is Mimoyach Ha'av. So let's just accept that as an axiom. The son comes from the brain of the father. The origin of the son is the brain of the father. Okay? Whatever that exactly means. Now, so too, if the Yidden are called Bonim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem, we are called sons of Hashem. So therefore, a son originates from the brain of the father, so we originate from the brain of Hashem. What does that mean in actual fact? Hashem doesn't have a brain. Hashem is not described by brain. It means the origin of the Neshama is Chochma of Atzilus. Right? And with Hashem, it works like this. Because the neshama comes from Chochmah Atzilus, therefore, and the Chochmah Atzilus is that highest level of Atzilus that is most connected with Hashem. And the Rambam says that when Hashem, when we talk about Hashem's powers, they're different to ours. And Hashem is one with His wisdom. You can't separate Hashem's wisdom from Him. So therefore, if we come from the brain of Hashem, we come from Hashem. Oh, it's a piece of Hashem. Going back to what he said in the beginning of the second chapter, that the neshama is a chelek alakami mal mamash, it's a part of Hashem, so to speak. It's one with Hashem. Right? Rambam says this when he talks about understanding the powers of Hashem. He says, don't think they're like us, because Hashem is indivisible with us. You separate between the person, the power of thought, the thinking process, and the subject, and so on. With Hashem, you can't separate. It's all one thing. Difficult to understand for human beings, because we think in compartments, but that's the way it is. Okay. Good. So therefore, the neshama comes from the oneness, from the brain of the Father. The neshama comes from the chokhmah of Atzilus, that highest level of chokhmah, the wisdom of Hashem, so to speak. And Hashem is one with His wisdom. So therefore, explaining again this concept that the neshama is part of Hashem. We explained last week that what difference does it make? It makes a huge difference, because this is where the deep emunah, the deep certainty, the deep godly consciousness that a Jew has comes from. The fact that we have a neshama that is no, doesn't have any degrees of separation. In other words, it's mamash one with Hashem. So therefore, especially the deepest level of neshama, the yechida and so on, as we said last week, that's why we have this emunah of complete oneness, of complete certainty, which is uniquely Jewish. And of course, that leads to everything else in terms of love of Hashem and fear of Hashem and keeping mitzvahs. In other words, ultimately, the way we create a completely God-centered life to the point, as explains much later in Tanya, to the point even of Mesiras Nefesh, that comes from the oneness that the neshama, the nefesh of the kids, has with Hashem. Okay, that's a very quick, brief synopsis of last week. Now, that leads to a question. And this is the question he starts to address them. If that's true, that all neshamas have one source and all neshamas are one with Hashem, so how come there are madregas of neshamas? How come there are different levels of souls? Now, he asks that as a question, but first we have to accept that is true, right? And he's going to prove it. He does explain that. So there's a very, very clear thing in Kabbalah that not every neshama is at the same level, right? Because every person... And I think it's important just to clarify this, because not everyone has or can even have the same godly consciousness. And that doesn't matter, right? Some of us are lower, some of us are higher. And the reason for that is because everyone has a different mission, right? In other words, there are, for example, there's Moshe Rabbeinu and then there's us, right? And there's an infinite gap between the two. And as hard as we can, we're never going to become a Moshe Rabbeinu. And that doesn't mean there's something wrong with us. On the contrary, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu was very impressed by the souls at the end of Mashiach. Before Mashiach comes, they're still holding on, even though it's such a low madriga, right? Okay, separate issue. But there are different levels of neshamas. Now, explains like this. So, you don't have the previous page, so I'll just... So he says like this. Even though, he says, there are tens of thousands different levels of neshamas, one on top of another, infinitely, there's an infinite range of neshamas. Right? So have a look at the top of the page. Kamoi, for example, you see the second line? Second word? Right. Kamoi, goidel mailas neshomes ovis. Like the greatness of the neshomes, the souls of our forefathers, our patriarchs. Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom. Moshe Rabbeinu, for example. Al neshomes doire seinu eilet, compared to our generations. Which in Kabbalah, our generations are called the Ikve Mashiach, right? You know that our time is called Ikves of the Mashiach, the heels of Mashiach. Now there's two reasons why it's called heels of Mashiach. One is called heels of Mashiach because we can already kind of hear the heels of Mashiach, right? Because it's the Geula hopefully is imminent. But there's another reason, a main reason is like this. We call the heels of Mashiach because our Madrega is like the heels. We're at the end of the road, right? Shehem Bechinas Akvayi Mamish. We are Mamish like heels. Legabe Hamoyach Baharosh. Like compared to the brain and the head. Right? There's a fascinating concept brought down in that result, right? So I mentioned last week, just to explain this a little bit, I mentioned last week that in a Shama, the Nefesh of Akis was blown into Adam Arishan, right? And therefore Adam Arishan was called an Ashama Kol as a general soul. In fact, all 600,000 souls, right? We know there's 600,000 souls, right? Actually, many more than 600,000 souls, but there's 600,000 1,000 categories of souls, right? They were all part of Adam HaRishon. And the way it says is that in Kabbalah and Arizal, different places brought, that all the neshamas were connected to different parts of his body. They were connected. The neshama and the body are connected, as we know, right? We don't need the modern trauma experts to tell us this. This is in Kabbalah way, way back, right? The neshama and the body are very linked. So that's why, that's where the different levels of the neshamas actually come from, right? And not only that, it says, you know, I didn't say it here, I didn't see this in the commentaries of Tanya here, but I once heard this as a Bokhar Yeshiva, that in Kabbalah also says, that's why, you know, the Gemara says that although we're all obligated to keep all the mitzvahs, right? But, I mean, a Yid is obligated to keep Shulchan Aruch. Nevertheless, we find that every person has their, like, pet mitzvah, their things that they either struggle with or emphasize, whatever the case is, right? And also has to do with sometimes the parts of the body that the neshama was connected to other marishim with. Right? But the point he wants to bring out here is that because the other marishim had all these neshamas connected to him, because he was really they were all rooted in one general neshama, that's why you have neshamas that are compared to a head and neshamas that are compared to a lower level, up to down to the feet. Right? And the truth is that this is our generation, for example, generally is called Ikvas and Mashiach in a general sense, which means we're on a much, much lower level, which, by the way, is also the greatness of our generation. Right? The fact that our struggle is not to have the open and revealed consciousness that they had in previous generations, and yet still to struggle, and yet still to keep Torah and Mitzvahs. Okay, it doesn't mean we're lower or higher, but it does mean that we're in a lower level than Hashem is in a higher level. So definitely are lower levels, and his question is, how can that be if all the Hashemahs come from one source? They all come from Chochmah, the highest level of Chochmah, how come we're different levels, right? But he develops the question a bit more, and he says the following. Not only generations compared to one another. The truth is, in every generation, we know that's the way it is. Yesh Roshe Alfe Yisrael, there are great men, or women for that matter, great leaders of Klal Yisrael. Shanish Moy saying that their neshamas, Heim Bechinas Rosh V'moyach, that their neshamas are considered like the head or the brain, Legabe neshamas Hahamoin, compared to the neshamas of the common people, the Ame Horetz, or those that are ignorant. Amor is not only a description of here anyways. Amor is sometimes a description you describe someone who doesn't know how to learn, doesn't have knowledge. Now that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about people just on a lower level. There's different ways you can, different, right? It means a person just on a lower level, a common person, right? Then he says, V'chein nefashis, gabel nefashis. He said the neshamas versus other neshamas, and I says nefashis versus other neshamas. What he means by that is because in the conscious level of the neshama, we use the word neshama and nefesh as a general term, but actually they're specific terms. Because we know that the neshama has five levels. Three of those levels are the conscious levels of the neshama. Nefesh, ruach, neshama. Right? Nefesh is the lowest one, then comes ruach, then comes neshama. So he talks about different levels of neshama, says not just levels of neshama, it's different levels on all levels of consciousness. So there's neshamas versus neshamas, there's nefesh versus nefesh, right? Everyone has different nefesh also. So, neshamas is more the intellect of. So, nefesh, ruach, neshama are three levels of the neshama. One refers to behavior, one refers to emotion, one refers to cognition. And the whole time he's been talking about neshamas versus other neshamas. They're the head neshamas and the heel neshamas. But he says it doesn't only mean the neshamas, it means on all levels. Like on the level of nefesh, which is really a behavioral level, there's also differences. Not everyone, yeah? Okay.
Does that mean that you've got neshama A, all those three levels are the same connection
to
your neshama, or can you have...
See, let's make it clear. It could be that someone has a high nefesh than a neshama. I'm not sure exactly how it works. Yeah. Okay. Bottom line is, that's the question. The question is, how does that happen if all neshamas come from one? It says like this. Mikol mokem nefesh... Oh, no, sorry. It says nefesh compared to nefesh. Kichol nefesh, because every nefesh really, although it's a generic term, but really if you break it down, every nefesh kelula is made up of menefesh, ruach, and neshama. Okay. That's the question. Now he starts to answer. Kol mokim, nevertheless, he says, Shoyresh kol ha-nefesh ruach ha-neshama kulam, the source, the origin of every single neshama. Meirosh kol... let's get that page. Do you want me to say? Give me a second. It says Shoyrish Kol Nefesh, the root of every nefesh, Shochan Neshama Kulam, Roish Kol Madregis, from the higher levels at Soif Kol Dagin to the lowest levels, Amalubish Beguf, which come into the body of Ami Haaretz of the Ami Haaretz, the Kal Shebekalim, or people who are very low level spiritual level. Nimshach Mimoyach HaElyon. If you want to, Jenny, if you want to paper this, Nimshach Mimoyach HaElyon come from the supernal brain. She chachma ilah, which comes from the chachma ilah, the highest level of chachma. Now, so he makes a statement like this, which doesn't answer the question yet. He says, but yes, there are different levels, that's true, but it's also true what I said before, that they all come from the same source, the highest level of chachma, the brain of Hashem, so to speak, right? So how does that work? So now, to answer the question, he goes back to the analogy of a child. So, the child comes from the brain of the father, correct? As we said before. But yet, when the child is born, there's different levels within the child. Not the whole child is brain. Only part of the child is brain, right? Child has hands. Child has feet. Child has... So even the child has a heel. We're talking about the shamas like heels, right? So in the physical sense, we also have this issue, where everything originates from one source. And yet, they're different, right? I mean, you could say the same thing with the tree also, right? There's always one, kernel, there's one seed, which of here we say by the son comes from the brain of the father, and yet, there's so many different levels within the son. So how does that work? So let's see, it says like this. Kamoshal, he says, give us a moshal, like an analogy. Habein ha-nimshach imoyach ha'av. The son that comes from the moyach of the father, right, the brain of the father. Shafilu tziporne raglov, that even the nails of the feet, trying to bring out like the lowest part of the, physically talking about now, the lowest non-spiritual, non-conscious level of the son. Nishavo mitipazu mamash comes from exactly the same seed, exactly the same drops. How does it work? Al didei shi yosa tisho chadoshim bebetanei. Through the gestation process. In other words, that original seed is gestated in the mother's womb for 9 months. The yor, domi madrega, la madrega, and that seed, which came from the moyach of the brain of the father. Now you have to follow carefully here, because the analogy has different components, and each component is going to be relevant to the answer to the question, all right? So, it gestates for 9 months in the womb of the mother. What happens then? The yordo mi madrega li madrega. It evolves. And different parts of the original source evolve in different ways. Lishtanois, or lishavois, mi mena, tzipornai. To create different parts of the body, down to what he calls the nails of the feet, of the toes, right? The imkolze there. Nevertheless, oidenok shura, the whole body is still connected, umyuchedes, beyichud niflova otsum, in an unbelievable way, vemuhusavats musarisha, to its original source. Yeah. So, taka, the evolution process of the 9 months evolved in different components, different levels, because different parts of the DNA became affected in different ways, which is what's supposed to happen through the 9 months of gestation, right? Which, by the way, we'll see the neshama also has in 9 months. There's a, we know the neshama also gestates in 9 months, right? Spiritually, there's a spiritual parallel pregnancy that happens with the neshama when a woman is pregnant, there's a physical pregnancy and a spiritual pregnancy happening at the same time. We'll get there in a minute, right? But the whole son is still connected with its original source, which is Shehi Tipas Moyacha, which is the original seed of the father. Not only that, Vigam Achshav, and even now, let me explain this outside before we do this inside. He says like this, every part of the son is connected with the son's brain, correct? The son's brain is the part of the son that he's still, which never changed, right? So the son comes from the brain of the father, correct? The son evolves into zillions of different parts. What part of the son is unaffected by, so to speak, by the evolution of gestation? The brain of the sun. The brain of the sun is exactly the same as its source, which is the brain of the father. Correct? Yeah? Yeah? Well, it's. But doesn't mean have the same brain. In other words, the madrega, so to speak,
okay.
Right? The sun comes from the brain of the father, but the only part of the sun that's still in similar to its source, which is the brain of the father, is the brain of the sun, right? The rest of the sun also originates in the brain of the father, but evolved into different levels. Now, in the sun itself, right? In the sun itself. In the sun's body, in other words, the sun in the sun himself. How does every part of the sun get its source? Get its life? How does it stay alive? From the brain of the sun. Right? Correct? I mean, everything. The brain guides the whole body, right? Correct? The brain sends signals to the whole body. The brain enlivens the whole body, right? The brain of the sun is what never changed from the father. So therefore, the toe of the son is still connected to the brain of the father by being connected to the brain of the son. Okay?
Everything's connected to the father regardless. You can look at
that. Maybe he wants to explain how, because it's just an analogy. So he wants to explain how it works in the Nishan. Okay. So now it goes like this. Let's go back to the Nishan. I think it's easier if I explain this outside. It'll be flow better. Right? The sun, so all neshamas originates from one place. The neshamas of Klal Yisrael are all called one body. That's how it works. Koimo achas shleimo, which is by very true. That's why we're so intrinsically connected, right? That's why, you know, it's brought down in Kabbalah, Chassidus, that it says tzaddikim, or even perfect tzaddikim, which is going to explain later in Tanya what a perfect tzaddik is, and they're very, very rare. But even perfect tzaddikim, when it comes Yom Kippur, they confess about crazy transgressions that we all do, but they don't do. Right? Why do they do? Because when we do them, we affect them, because all the neshamas are one body. Right? So when they say vidu, they're saying vidu for us and from the effect that they have from our avarice, right? I'm just bringing that out as an example. All neshamas are one. Right? Oh, he's getting there. That's why I started today's shiur by saying it's a very... It's a byproduct of today's perek is not just to answer this question, it's to understand the whole point of connecting to tzaddikim. We'll get to that. He says it openly at the end, right? So all neshamas, but let's explain how it happens first of all. All neshamas originate in Chochmah Yilah. Now, let me explain this properly. So when Hashem created the world, we have what's called Seder Hishtalshlus. Okay? He only says this very briefly, but it's important to explain so we understand it. The evolution of spiritual worlds. I mentioned briefly last week and being here today that there's four worlds: Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, Asiya. Atzilus is God's world. So God chose to manifest himself in a structured way, which is a lowering for Hashem, so to speak, but that's where he is, it's his way of his expression. And that's the world of Atzilus, where he expressed himself in Chochmah, in Bina, in Das, in Chesed, in Gevurah, and so on. But that world, there's nothing else besides Hashem. It's still Hashem's world. There's no creation yet. It's still Hashem's manifestation, where he chose to manifest himself in a particular limited way, but it's still only him, right? Him and his wisdom are one, as we said. The next world is the world of Bria, that was the first point in this evolution of spiritual worlds, where we have a creation of sorts, where there's something else that exists, so to speak, other than Hashem. When I say so to speak, because nothing really exists other than Hashem, but other than Hashem's reality. One second, let me just open that window. Open the window. Shouldn't do that. Right, so the only way so Bria is the first point where there seems to be something, a creation. Hashem created something, that's what's called Bria. But even that world is very, very much connected to Hashem, and the godly consciousness in that world is still amazing, but it's already another entity. Yetzirah takes on a form. Asiyah, it's even lower, and then we are products of Asiyah, and that's why we have almost zero godly consciousness, unless we work very hard at it, okay? Now, that's the way the world was created, and therefore each world is a big drop and a big simtsum, as we say it, and a huge descent from the world before. And as many, as we learned once before in the previous Maamar, there's many, many thousands of levels of tzimtzum that goes one after another until eventually Hashem arrived, so to speak, at this world. Right? But we're all connected to all the worlds through the 10 spheres and so on, but this is a product of huge tzimtzum. Now, although the neshama is not affected by the same level of tzimtzum, because the neshama is blowing, don't forget, Hashem, the neshama is always connected with Hashem, and neshama is machshava, is the thought of Hashem as opposed to the speech of Hashem, as we spoke about last week. And therefore, the neshama is not affected by the same system of seder ishtalshlus that the rest of the world is affected by, right? However, for the neshama to get to the body, it also travels through the four worlds. That's what explains the Chassidus. It also travels through the four worlds. Vatsilus, Briyat, Sirasya. Right? And travels and develops and evolves in order to come into the body. So the neshama that we get, at least in the conscious levels of the neshama, is the yichida, is always that oneness with Hashem. But at least in the conscious levels of our neshama, it is affected somewhat by a process of evolution, a process of gestation, spiritual gestation, right? Which goes through the worlds of Atzilus, Bri, Yetzir, Asiyah. So it also goes on a journey. It's not the same journey as everything else. Everything else journey is very impactful in terms of it. Each drop is a very, very big drop in terms of how it's affected, in terms of its connection to Hashem. The neshama is different. The neshama is always godly, right? But it still goes through a journey. It's called like Bederach Maivri. So you can think of it like a train that goes through a station. Some trains are not express. They have to stop at every station and it gets delayed. Other trains just travel through. But they're still traveling, right? It's still a journey. That's kind of a little bit that you can, maybe I don't know if it's exact mushal, but it's a little bit you can explain it there. In that going down of every neshama, which every neshama originates from the highest level of chachma, chachma ilo, until the neshama comes into our body, just like the body, the physical body, in the pregnancy process, different parts of the body are affected differently, so too, the neshama is also like this collective body of neshamas. Every neshama is affected differently. Some neshamas evolve so much that when they come to this world, they're like compared to a foot or even the toes or the nails even. Some neshamas are higher, some neshamas are even higher, and some neshamas are unaffected altogether, just like the sun's brain. However, just like the analogy, they still all come from the same source. And they're all still connected to the same source. Right? How? Because all the neshamas are like one body. You have a collection of neshamas that are like the brain of the sun. And all the other neshamas, which are part of the body, are connected to that brain. And then he takes it a step further. And because that brain is the part of the body of neshamas, the spiritual body of neshamas, that was unaffected by the evolution of neshamas, unaffected by the journey, and therefore he's still very one with its original source. That's how every neshama becomes connected to its original source. And with that, the Alter Rebbe introduces this concept of being connected to a tzaddik, which we know in Chassidus is a very important part of Chassidus, right? The idea of tzaddikim and the idea of being connected to a tzaddik. Why is it so important? Why can't we just all be connected to Hashem ourselves? The answer is because all the neshamas are affected differently in terms of their journey down. I'm one of the answers. Okay? And therefore, all the neshamas are like one collective body. And just like by the sun, the connection of the foot of the sun to the original source of the sun, which is the brain of the Father, is by the foot being connected to the brain of the sun, which is the part of the sun that's not unaffected by its original source. So too, exactly the same with the neshamas. The neshamas, the connection to the original source of the neshama, which is the higher level of chokhmah, which in turn means the connection to Hashem himself, because Hashem and his chokhmah are one, comes through those neshamas which are still at the level of chokhmah. Those neshamas that are still the, like the brain of the sun, which are unaffected by the journey of the soul. Clear? So I'll show you where we can go to the bottom of the page, the right side. Count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines from the bottom. The fourth last word on the line. Im kol zeh. See that? Right. Yeah, everyone has it? V'im kol zeh? Okay. So he says, even though we have mamash very, very low levels of souls, yes, there are different levels of souls. Because through the whole travel and the journey through the four worlds, different shamas become affected differently, just like different parts of the sun becomes affected. He says, nevertheless, v'im kol zeh, oidenu kshurois, listen to these words, oidenu kshurois umuyuchodois, they are still connected and one with, beyichud nifla v'otzum, in the most amazing connection, the most amazing bond, bimahusan v'atzmusan harishan, with its original source, shehi hamshachas chochmilo, which is the coming down of the supernal chochma, the greatest level of chochma, the chochma v'atzilis, which is the highest level of seder ishtalshlos. Why? How does the connection happen? Because the nourishment, the source, the energy of the neshamas, which belong to the lowest levels, comes from nefesh ruach neshama shel tzaddikim v'achachamim, come from the nefesh ruach neshama of the tzaddikim and those wise people, roshei b'nei Yisrael, the heads of the Jewish people, shebedorim, in their generation. And then through that, that's how they connect back to the original Chochmeh. Just like it happens in Bekashmir, just like it happens with the sun. The foot of the sun gets its nourishment, gets its energy from the brain of the sun, which is connected to the Father, the brain of the Father. And he says like this, he says, now we can understand something the Gemara says. Let's have a look. This we're able to understand, going to the next page on top, the Maimer Azal. What the Chazal tell us, al posuk on the posuk, or a dofka boy. So there's Chazal, it's a Gemara somewhere, where the Gemara comments on a posuk in the Chumash. The Torah says that Hashem gave us a Torah, gave a thing, and the purpose was to ladofka boy, to cleave to Hashem. Can I put a thing? Sorry? Before we... Yeah, you want to just press the green thing, yeah. Yeah, let's go. And I told you, you should tell me. Please let me know. So. That's okay. Right? This is a Gemara in Ksubis, by the way. Right? The Pasuk says... like this. The Pasuk in Chumash says, Ladovka, but we have to cleave to Hashem. Every word in the Chumash is correct, right? It doesn't say you need to come connected to Hashem or follow Hashem. It says we have to become dovuk, we have to become one with that, we have to cleave to Hashem, right? So the Gemara says there, right? The Gemara asks the question, can a person cleave to the Shekhinah? How can that be? How can you cleave to the Shekhinah, Hashem's presence? How can a person cleave to the divine presence? So the Gemara answers like this. It says, Shekhal ha-dovuk b'talmid ha-chachamim, whoever cleaves to a Torah scholar, he's not talking about just someone with knowledge, he means a tzaddik knowledge, right? Male olav akosuv, the pasuk considers it ke'ilu nitbak b'shchina mamash, as if his mamash be connecting to the shchina itself. So this is the same thing that what Al-Dra has been explaining about the, he just explained this gemara, how that worked, because they are the level of chokhma, they are the level, they haven't become affected by the original source. He says, because through cleaving to Talmid Chacham, becoming connected to them, learning from them, believing in them. By the way, this goes back to, he doesn't say this in this paragraph, Tanya, but this really goes back to a very famous pasuk in Chumash, right? Which is really, it says it all. When the Yidden left Mitzrayim, right? And they sang the Shira. So they came to the Yam Suf. And they were trapped there, and eventually Hashem said, split the sea, and they went in. Then the Mitzrayim followed, and the sea closed in on them, and they drowned. What happened after? They sang the Shira, they sang the song, right? So we say in the... we say every day in Davening, right? Huh? Page. We say at the beginning, it says, "Vayosha Hashem, Hashem saved on that day the Jewish people from the Egyptians." The Yidden saw the Egyptians and how they perished on the edge of the sea. The Yidden saw the great hand that Hashem had performed in Mitzrayim. By Yiramas Hashem, they feared Hashem. By Yaminu by Hashem, they believed in Hashem. Uba Moshe Avdo and his Moshe his servant. Why does it have to say that? What do you mean they believed in Hashem and Moshe? Believe in Hashem. You don't believe. We don't believe in two things, right? We only believe there's only one God, right? So what does it mean by Yaminu by Hashem? They believed in Hashem and in Moshe. And it's in one sentence, not like a different type of belief. It's like one belief, right? So that's really the pshat, because in the Zohar it says that Moshe Rabbeinu was called Raya Mehemne. Raya Mehemne means he was a shepherd of faith. Now, the real translation of Raya Mehemne means a faithful shepherd. But there's two translations of that. Faithful shepherd, which he obviously was, but also it's a shepherd of faith. Just like a shepherd feeds the flock, the tzaddikim, the Moshe Rabbeinu, feeds the emunah, right? There's a level of emunah that emunah which we said the depth of the neshama has in its essence, but it needs to come out consciously. And that's a problem for most people because most people are not at that level. Right? So that's the same concept we're saying in Tanya, but through connecting to Moshe Rabbeinu, that's how you get the emunah. So by Aminu Ba'Hashem, they believed in Hashem, but that belief in Hashem came through Moshe Rabbeinu. But Moshe Rabbeinu being the brain of the sun, so to speak, which means he had that level of emunah consciously because his neshama was not affected by the tzimtzum, by the evolution of souls. The Yidden, by connecting to him, by believing in him, they believe in Hashem. It's one emunah, it's not two emunahs, it's one emunah. Right? And the same thing, the Gemara is saying here, to be dovuk, to cleave to the Shekhinah means you have to cleave to tzaddikim. Because that's how you get your in fact, over here he says even more in Tanya, that's how you get everything. Like your whole existence comes because of that. Like the existence of the foot of the sun comes from the brain of the sun. So too, the existence of all the neshamas come from the connection to the Talmud HaChacham. Right? Which is, by the way, a principle. I know some people find this principle difficult, but generally speaking, I'm not only talking about a chassan and a rebbe, just generally talking about. There's a concept in Yiddishkeit called the munas chachamim, to believe in chachamim, to believe that there are certain people in the world that have a higher neshama. Certain people that are tzaddikim and certain people that are just on a higher level, and to connect to them and believe in them, it's a big thing. People always ask, but how do I know they're just human beings, all this kind of stuff, right? I say, yeah. So, I mean, you didn't have a collective sense of these things. I mean, we know throughout the ages, right? Rashi, Rambam, the Tanoim, the Amiroim, tzaddikim, and so on and so forth, right? Yes, it's a different kind of intermediary.
And for me, there's some resonance here that's not...
Yeah, yes, everyone always has a problem. So there's a very, very difference. It's not... There's something called a mamutza ha-mechalik, ha-mafsik mamutza ha-mechaber. An intermediary is a pshat that since you can't get to God because he's too high, so you have to go through something else. So there's almost like a wedge between you and God. That's chas shalom. You don't believe in intermediaries. Right? That's why I said it's like. Go back to the moshul over here, right? The toe of the son being connected to the brain of the father is not an intermediary concept. It's because he's part of one body and he's connected and he gets all his chayas from the brain and that brain is one with Hashem. It's intermediary which brings closer, not divides the thing, right? In other words, the purpose of here is a direct connection to Hashem. That's clear, right? When we daven only to Hashem. Right? Only to Hashem. But that connection to Hashem that we have is because we connected as a collective body. And so that's very, very different. Chashol, we don't daven. Christianity, you daven to the intermediary. That's avodah zarah. We don't do that. Right? But in order for us to have a connection to Hashem, in order for us to be connected to the brain of the Father, we have to be part of the body. We have to be connected to the brain of the body. Now, he says something interesting in a second, right? He says, how about those people who are not connected? How about those people who don't believe in the tzaddik? Right? How about the people who don't believe in the tzaddik? So look what he says. In brackets, he says, V'aposhim u'moydim l'avan ha'chachamim. Those who sin and rebel against Talmud ha'chachamim, against tzaddikim, Yinikas nefesh ruach neshama shlemim b'chinas sechraim neshama shlemim b'chinas sechraim. It's still coming. It's just not coming more. It's not coming. It's still coming through the tzaddik. In other words, it's a fact. All the neshamas are one body, and therefore our existence from Hashem and our connection to Hashem and to Hashem only travels through the brain of the sun, travels through the tzaddik. Ah, you think you're an independent foot and you've nothing to do with the brain? Okay, so you still get your chayis. It's just not as strong. Because it always happens. It happens to everyone. That's how neshamas work. All neshamas are one body. In fact, so what he's trying to bring out is that all neshamas are connected to the tzaddikim. Whether you like it or not, it's not even a conscious thing. That's how our connection to Hashem happens. Going back to the pasuk, I'm in of Hashem and Moshe Avda. Not for the purpose of connecting to the praying or connecting to the tzaddik as an independent thing, chas v'shalom. That's how the connection to Hashem works, because the tzaddik is one with Hashem. The other thing is, we are supposed to bring out our connection to Hashem in a conscious way, in a revealed way, it has to be conscious, it has to be developed and nurtured, that you do by nurturing your connection to the tzaddik. Okay, that's a difference. That's just bringing out that dveikus, that connection to the tzaddik, is just bringing out what's already a fact anyway. But you're just revealing it within yourself. So therefore, when you connect to the tzaddik in a stronger way, the emunah which you intrinsically have, which goes through the tzaddik anyway, now becomes more conscious with you. So your emunah becomes stronger, your connection becomes stronger, your Yiddishkeit becomes stronger. No, just like you're born as a baby, just like the body's born as a baby, you're born with a baby neshama. Same thing. But that baby neshama is part of a collective body of neshamas. So it might be different levels, but they all connect, and they all connect Hashem through the brain of the sun. That's the mashal we bring over here.
And tzaddik can atone for the lower?
Yes or no. That's not the way it works. Because although we're all one collective body, but we don't... We're all independent, right? We're independent people. We have to do the work ourselves, right? We're assisted by the tzaddik. We're inspired by the tzaddik. And it also depends in, I mean, if you want to break it down further, I mean, that was a famous debate between, not debate, it was a famous different approach. So when Hasidus started, this concept between the relationship to a tzaddik obviously was much more emphasized. And this whole idea of a chassid and a rebbe, right? Now, in that chassid and rebbe relationship, there was a big difference between the Alter Rebbe's method and the other sects of Hasidus, like the Baal Shem Tov's disciples, right, or the Maggid's disciples. There, they were much more reliant on the tzaddik. Like you were sort of carried by the tzaddik. Your inspiration of davening and learning, like always, pushed by the tzaddik, right, in a very very strong way. In Chabad, actually, the goal was not to do that. In fact, that was when the Rebbe became Rebbe. After the whole year, after the previous Rebbe passed away, right? So we believe the Rebbe really became Rebbe immediately, but not formally. He didn't want to accept it formally. And it took him a whole year to formally accept it. And when he formally accepted it, he accepted it at the Fabringen a year later after the previous Rebbe passed away. He accepted by saying a mimer. The whole thing was a Rebbe says a mimer. And he did that. And everyone was really, really happy. And he stopped everyone right after the mimer. Very typical of the Rebbe. And he said, in America, because it was in America, right, in 1950, he said, in America, everything works by big pronouncements. So therefore, he laughed. He said, therefore, I've got a big announcement to make. You think you've chosen someone now who's going to help you out, right? Who's going to do everything for you. So you have to remember the difference between Chabad and the other groups of Hasidus is, and in Chabad actually we say, no, everyone has to do their own Avodah. You've got to work hard yourself. You've got to internalize the connection yourself. And he said, help and vetmen, vifol miken. He says, we're going to help as much as we can. We're not going to hold back at all. And I was, of course, inspiration is going to come from here. It's going to, spiritually, whatever it is, intellectually, everything, it's going to come. But the work you have to do. So, yeah. So I guess in atonement it's the same thing. Yeah, we... You know, there's a Hasidic word. Of course, it starts from the connection to the tzaddik. You know, that's why Hasidim had this thing. Many Hasidim used to have a minhag that they would try their hardest on Rosh Hashanah to be by the Rebbe, because that's like the head of the year. So you also want to connect to that. It's a good time to connect to the head, right? We say connect to the head of the sun. And he used to say, like, you know, on Rosh Hashanah, people eat the head of the fish, right? And some people say a prayer. And the prayer is, we ask Hashem, Shaniel the Rosh, which should be a head and not a tail, right? The problem is, there's a grammatical problem there. It doesn't say Shaniel Rosh, which should be a head and not a tail. It says, Shaniel Rosh, which should be to the head. So they say that the Hasidic interpretation was that the real tefillah was that we should be zoicha, we should merit to be connected to the head. Anyway, it's just a nice one. That's the concept. Okay, so this was really a by the way thing. Really, I mean, not by the way, but he brought this out. He really, the purpose of the chapter was to define the godly soul, right? The problem was, the way to define the godly soul as being so connected to Hashem, and all neshamas come from the same one source, created the question of how come there's different levels of the neshamas. So the answer was that neshamas are like a body, just like a body, the sun develops in different ways, so too the neshamas. And therefore the outcome of that is that we're all connected to our original source, but through the brain of the sun, which is the concept that the Gemara says, being connected to the tzaddik and so on. Once we've understood that, then he's going to, in the next parak, he's going to now start breaking down the souls. He's going to talk about the nefesh el hakis particularly. He's going to talk about the 10 powers of the soul, the chacham and hadas and the spheres and so on. And then start to talk about how we connect through that, how we connect to Torah, and then talk about the struggle between the two souls, and it'll take us through for the whole time here.
So, yeah. Well, this is connected, maybe, I don't know, to, like, when we die, we say brain, death, and other things, for this reason?
That's a physical thing, really. No, in other words...
Like, you know, isn't it when you donate organs or when you
live? Yeah, no, so brain, death, and heart, that's a purely physical thing. That's defining halachically what the moment of death is.
But it's when the brain's gone.
So well, not... Well, not everyone holds that. There's still,
not everybody holds it?
No, no. That's why there's a whole debate about the organization. There are halachic opinions that hold you have to be heart dead to be dead. Yeah. Which means later. Which means a problem than any heart. That's a whole debate. Yeah. But that's another, that's got to do with the moment of death. All right.